Hello and welcome to Getting Intentional About SEL. Of course, we mean social emotional learning. This podcast is brought to you by the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. And my name is Carrie Robidoux. I'm a Youth Development Extension Educator. Joining me today to talk about SEL is Kate Walker. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, thanks, Carrie.
Well, she's an extension specialist in youth work practice, and she is going to talk to us today about resources we have to support SEL in your youth programs. Kate, let's start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you became interested and began your work in social emotional learning.
Sure. So much of my work is around with a kind of a research and evaluation background, trying to understand what it is, what is youth development, how does it happen, what are the conditions that need to be in place to best support it, and in particular the role of adults in creating those conditions. So a lot of my work is around understanding youth work practice, what are the dilemmas of youth work practice, and then providing trainings. We do within our center, we have a variety of online and in-person training opportunities to help support youth work practice. The past couple of years now, we've really been digging into social and emotional learning in particular, how those skills are supported in youth programming.
Social emotional learning, what is that for those of us who are new to this topic or haven't worked in it a lot? How do you define that? And we are calling it social emotional learning and SEL. So when we don't want to rumble that off our tongue too many times, we'll say SEL through this
Absolutely.
Podcast.
Yeah, so social and emotional learning are that whole kind of basket of skills that we know young people need to have a more holistic preparation for life, for school, for success. So in addition to, you know, academic content, we know young people need to learn social skills, right? Like how to be aware of and get along with others. They have to also have these emotional skills in terms of being aware of their emotions, aware of others' emotions, knowing how to manage those emotions. We can talk about the ways of being model that we created, but to that social emotional piece, we kind of added our ways of doing, which is how do you combine those social and emotional skills to get things done? So with the skills like problem solving, goal setting, things like that.
And this all sounds like things that naturally happen in youth programs, but perhaps if we were more intentional about that, it could be more effective. So how do you see SEL happening in youth programs?
Well, in a lot of ways, youth programs are this ideal context for young people to learn these things because it's in these very settings where young people are coming together, working with a group, having to have teamwork skills. They might be engaging in these real-world projects where they have to take on meaningful roles, face challenges. They're going to experience all those emotional ups and downs that come along the way. So you've got this kind of ideal context to learn the skills, but as you say, it doesn't happen automatically. We really do have to be intentional both in how we design a program to kind of set it up for this kind of learning and then be responsive in the moment to take advantage of opportunities as they arise to really kind of build on the social and emotional learning aspect.
And if I want to do this in my youth program, you have helped create a toolkit to do this.
Yes.
And so let's find out a little bit more about that toolkit. Tell us about it and what it is.
Sure. Well, and maybe to back up to say, yes, so we've developed actually a whole set of trainings to help people think about social emotional learning, to understand what it is, and to be more intentional about supporting it. And as we've been working and doing these trainings, we've also discovered that people really do want some practical tools and activities, and what are some resources that we sometimes share in our trainings or that we've otherwise developed that we could kind of put together and prepare and share out with people. So yes, we have this toolkit now that's an online resource for people to see kind of a flexible set of templates and activities and activities that people can do both with staff and with young people to really be more intentional about social emotional learning. And we're really trying to be clear that it isn't a curriculum. It's not the kind of thing you pick up and go from beginning to end, but it's really something you kind of page through and find the thing that fits for you right now, depending on what your need is.
And there's a couple things that are helpful in this. I'm hearing that there is education for the staff in how to implement this, as well as activities for the young people. Tell
yes.
us a little bit more about that.
Well, what we also hear from people as we've been talking about this is that we have to start with staff, and staff, you know, need to kind of walk the talk, right? And they need to both understand what are we talking about with social emotional learning. They need to be able to model these skills. They need to be able to set up and create the conditions for young people to learn them. So actually the first whole section of the toolkit is called Equipping Staff, and it contains all kinds of activities to do just that, to help staff understand and become kind of fluent in this language of social and emotional learning. That's where we share our ways of being model as a framework for people to kind of organize their thinking around this. And then we have things to think about their own SEL, right? We call it emotional intelligence when we talk about adults, but we have an assessment for them to think about their own emotional intelligence, their own cultural values, and think about how they may approach some of these skills differently than some of the young people and the families they may be working with. Aligning this work with quality. A lot of the people that we work with are, you know, immersed in that language of quality. How does that line up with how we think about SEL? So a whole set of resources for staff to really get on the same page about SEL to start.
And you've mentioned the ways of being model a couple times.
Yes.
Can we just review what that is?
So, right. And that was early on in this work, one of the things we developed was this ways of being model. And we have an issue brief about that. And it's kind of the foundation for a lot of our training, where we wanted to make sure that you kind of go, why did the university need another model? There's a million social emotional learning models out there, right? But our problem with some of them were, one, they, as I mentioned, they didn't really focus on that ways of doing. There's sort of the ways of feeling we have in our model, which is that emotional piece, and we have ways of relating, which is that social piece. But then we wanted to kind of give equal footing to ways of doing. So really, how do you, you know, bring those social emotional skills together to get stuff done? And then we also kept ways I am at the center. We really wanted to highlight that identity piece, in part to really recognize the cultural and, you know, more individual dimensions of how we think about these skills. So we developed this model, and that becomes then a way that we've shared to help people think about the skills, because it doesn't name specific skills. It really allows people to, regardless of whether you're calling it teamwork or empathy or problem solving or communication skills, how would you map on how you're thinking about social emotional learning to this model?
Your ways of being.
Your ways of being.
All ways of being.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the toolkit a little bit more as we continue. So you mentioned that first part is about equipping staff. What are the other sections of the toolkit, and where do the youth come in here?
Absolutely. So the next section, we talk about social emotional learning that it can be both caught and taught. And so the next section is where we would say you can kind of catch social emotional learning skills through the learning environment. So that section contains things to help staff, again, think about the culture and the context, the norms and the routines. What are some of the ways that you might support the learning environment so that you're setting up for the conditions for social emotional learning to be taught? So you've got a conflict resolution process. You've built in opportunities for reflection, things like that. And then the third section is how social emotional learning would actually be explicitly taught. So this is a set of activities that you would do with young people to really hone in on those different ways of being. So if you were focusing on, got, you know, ways I am, and we have some activities like a mask making activity where they create masks to talk about kind of who they are on the inside and who they are projecting for themselves on the outside. If we were thinking about ways of relating, we use a Brené Brown video and an activity about empathy to really talk about the difference between empathy and sympathy. So there's a variety of different activities to do with young people. And what I love about this section in particular is that a lot of these activities were developed by practitioners. So we pulled together a community design team, and people came to us with activities that they had done in their settings. So we knew that they've had some success. So I'm thinking Project Success did a goal sandwich, and they share with us how they help people think about what their goal is, what are the obstacles, what are the steps, kind of helping young people think through how to set and reach their goals.
So this toolkit is definitely built with tried and true, have been tested, have been used resources and activities
Absolutely. It's both, some of it's grounded in research and developed out from that lens, and some of it's really things that have been developed and tested in practice with young people themselves.
Sure. And then that fourth section, using data for improvement.
Using data for improvement. There, we're really not talking about big D data. We have steered clear and tried to be pretty tool neutral in terms of how people are thinking about measuring social-emotional learning. There's a lot of work going on in that area, but what we're focusing on in that section are really ways you can use, say, a reflection activity and turn it into data for improvement. How can you kind of work smarter, not harder? So if you're already doing something, collecting some information, how can just with, you know, you kind of tweak it to get a bit more information that you can learn? How are we on track? How are young people, you know, are they improving, or do they feel like they're getting better at a particular skill? In fact, there's an example of that would be earlier part of the toolkit. There's an emoji reflection sheet where young people use, you kind of give an anchor statement for whatever it is you're working with, and then they kind of circle which emoji reflects, you know, how they're feeling about that at a given time. Well, if you collect that over time and you're tracking a group of youth or a young person over time, you start to get a dashboard. And so in the data for improvement section, it talks about how you can use that reflection data as a dashboard.
Now, when you talk about the young people that we're working with in these in the SEL toolkit, and who is it geared towards? Is there a certain age group that, if I'm listening as a youth practitioner, that if I'm working with a certain age group, this is particularly designed for that?
We set it up with middle school youth in mind, but I do think that that without kind of major, you know, knowing your audience, you can, I think there's ways to tweak what you do to reach both younger and older audiences. So yeah, hopefully it has a broad kind of application that way.
And you talked about earlier a community design team helping you to create this. Tell us more about who created this toolkit.
So I worked myself and my colleague Margot Herman, who's here at the Center for Youth Development, and we worked with Brandy Olson, who's an independent consultant, as well as a graduate student who helped us as well. And then, as I mentioned, that community design team. So specifically for that section of activities with young people, we tapped some really seasoned practitioners to help us think about what were some activities that they had developed in their own program settings.
You also mentioned that this toolkit is culturally responsive. What does that look like?
Well, yeah, as I think what we know is that these skills are really culturally based, right? So how you think about these skills is going to be influenced by your background. And in fact, there's been some pushback to this whole movement around social emotional learning, in part because we say, wait a minute, some of these concepts that are kind of privileging a particular value or way of talking. So if we say assertiveness is some strength we want to promote, well, not everyone would agree. And so what we really tried to do is make sure, one, with the ways of being model, again, being kind of neutral and allowing people to use the language and the skills that fit for their context and culture. And then we have an activity in the equipping staff section that really highlights some different dimensions and values where you can say, huh, how do I think about this? What do I value? And how might that be different for the young people or the families I'm working with? Sort of to help people remember and understand how complex these skills are and how we think about them and how we even display them, it's going to look different for different groups.
So this toolkit is available online. Who is it available to?
Anybody. It is free and online on our website. So again, I would say it was designed as a companion to our kind of basic social-emotional learning and practice training. And I think people will get the most out of it if they've been a part of a training like that, or read the issue briefs that we've developed that kind of then frame up that ways of being model and talk through some of these strategies that that are the framework for the toolkit. But absolutely, anyone is free to dig in and see what's there and see what might be helpful for them.
This is great. Kate, thank you for talking to us today about the social emotional learning toolkit that you were that you helped put together and is available on our website. So for those of you listening, you can find this toolkit and the other resources that Kate mentioned on www.extension.umn.edu/youth. You'll also find other research, training, and events, and you can check out our information on Minnesota 4-H. Keep this conversation going by checking out our Youth Development Insight blog. You'll see that Kate also blogged about this toolkit, and so you can join in that conversation there. That will wrap up our podcast. This is Carrie Robidoux from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.